Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier. I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good evening to you, sir.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic, man. I cannot wait to pick your brain tonight. As you are the man on a 7-day fast. Well, you're not there yet. You're in the middle of it, but I want to break it down from start to finish. This is not your first long fast, but want to really kind of lay it out there for people that are wanting to kind of push the envelope. They've done water fasts. They've done, you know, OMADs. They've done, let's say, 36, 48, 72s. But
yeah,
that week mark, we want to really get them there. So I'm excited to dive into that with you tonight.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I feel like this was a huge milestone for me, hitting my first 7-day fast. I don't have the date, but, you know, over a year ago now. And every time I do it, you know, it's always a little bit different because the schedule is different. What I ate beforehand is different. And the reasons behind why is always different as well. So it's always an interesting experience. And we thought it'd be good to talk about.
Yeah, I've done, let's see, 3 7-days, a couple 5-days, and the rest all shorter. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that we compare and contrast your first to now to try to talk through some of those differences. But I guess my first question to you, I guess this is going to be interview style tonight, so bear with me. But my first question to you would be, why this fast now?
Why this fast now?
Why 7 days now? If it's been a year or however long it's been since your last one, I know it was been a year since your first.
Yeah. And my last 7-day, I don't remember exactly when it was. I think I did one this year. If not, it was maybe right at the end of last year. But I want to say I did one maybe in February or March, something like that. Maybe it was around the 2020 Vision Challenge in February.
So I did them then. I think you might have done a little bit earlier then.
Okay.
Because I think you had just come off before we started that. But so why this length now, really? Like, what was the motivating factor?
I had a couple of them. I had spent the previous week kind of mapping out the next few weeks, what that was going to look like, what this round of weight and health goals look like, and how I was going to get there. And I started putting some thought into it, you know, trying to kind of optimize it to where I could design a repeatable week that got me into my goals, and I could just kind of copy and paste. And by the time I put a little bit of thought into that, I said, well, I really want to just get the momentum started right now. I've been doing OMAD, and that's been great for maintaining, great for kind of a slow melt. But there hasn't been a whole lot of momentum to push to my next round of goals here. And I said, you know what? Now's as good a time as any. You know, we had date night on a Wednesday. And so by the Thursday morning, I just said, yep, now's the time. 7-day fast. I'll come back. Actually, it was Thursday. Date night got pushed. And then I said, yeah, we're going to do a 7-day fast. And I'll come back online, break my fast next Thursday.
That's awesome. So when you were saying you were framing out your kind of next set of goals, right? So you and I have talked about this where we have conversations about this too, where people plateau. They'll kind of, we had one person that had got down to their maintenance goal. She decided to move it, continued to do intermittent / OMAD. Felt really good. Scale kind of kept ticking down a little bit, and got below her ideal body weight for her, which is, you know, she feels good. She looks good. She you know, she's in a good place. So she's going to maintain, but there was a point like 5 to 8 pounds above that where she was kind of just hanging out, right? Where mm-hmm. I've been there, right? Lost a bunch of weight, kind of just been hanging out, right? Living life and not really pushing towards something, just kind of figuring it out, acclimating to different clothes and different energy levels and all that. So I think it's a cool point where you're like, well, first of all, I feel like the first step for anybody would be to like reflect on it. So where are you at and where do you want to go? Because if you don't have those two answers, then you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, those can be moving goalposts sometimes, but yeah, I think it's important to realize that as we, you know, you set an initial goal, especially when you start fasting and you start moving towards it, there are points along the way where, you know, you may have said, oh, I want to get down to, you know, high school weight or college weight or something in my 20s or something like that. It is a really common thing that we hear. As you move towards it, you can feel yourself heavily improved from where you started, and things can get a little comfortable, you know, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. We can become a little complacent there, but also it can take some time for self-image to adjust and for us to kind of get comfortable, like you said, with those new energy levels and, you know, what type of clothes can I fit into and all that kind of stuff. There's some adjustment that happens. So this definitely tends to be a journey, especially when you have, you know, significant weight to lose.
Cool. When we talk about comparing your first 7-day fast to this 7-day fast, I feel like there's going to be some pitfall avoidance. There's going to be some tips and tricks and how to prep, how to go into it, how to break that fast. So I kind of want to go mm-hmm. into these things now and really pick apart what it looks like. Because if you've never done a longer fast, there's some things that can really be daunting, right?
Yeah. And I think step one is figuring out how you're going to go into it. Now for me, like I said, it was kind of spur of the moment. The next morning, you know, after a good sized meal, like nothing too crazy, but that's when I decided. So there was a little bit of planning before that because I knew I was about to start a fast, but I was thinking more along the lines of a 36 hour, not a 7-day when I had that meal right before I started the longer fast. So, but I definitely reduced some carbohydrates there. Alcohol intake was moderate, and you know, it wasn't like an overtly large meal. I avoided sweets leading up to it as well, just so I didn't have as much of a crash or feel the volatility going into it as much. But within a couple of days, you know, I definitely felt that switch into ketosis. I did have that window, that 6 to 8 hours that was kind of rough. It was pretty low energy. That was in between day two and day three. That was maybe around, I don't know, somewhere around the 36 hour mark. 48 48 hour mark, yeah. Something like that. It was a little later than I was expecting. So I probably had some pretty full glycogen stores at that point. And I really started to see the ketones tick up as well, because this is the first longer fast where I'm measuring ketones as well.
Yeah, you just said something there that reminded me of when I do my longer ones, is that going into it, knowing how you're going to start it helps. because even if you come out of OMADs and you do intermittent or OMADs, if you have a higher carb or more indulgent or alcohol or all bad sleep, high stress, all of those things combined. But specifically with the carbs and alcohol, if you do that the night before and then you start a longer fast the next day, those first 12 to 24 hours can be pretty rough.
Yeah.
For me, it's that 40 to 48 hour mark where I just don't feel great. But after that, then what happens, right? Because I think it was day three or four, because you're on day five now, right?
Yeah, I am. So somewhere around like 60 to 70 hours in is where that kind of more euphoric, it's kind of an adrenaline surge. It's this high energy because your body's really tapped into those fat stores, which is basically like an unlimited, you know, fuel supply right at that point. And so there's no more volatility in the energy levels. It's steady, but it's much higher. I mean, that's where that metabolic boost, 15, 20%. boost in our energy levels comes from, and brain fog goes away, and you feel fantastic at that point. It's great.
So you mentioned glycogen, which is short-term glucose stores, sugar stores in our skeletal muscle, in our liver. And then you mentioned ketones, which is our body's preferred fuel source, but it takes some time to get there sometimes with our standard American diet and frequent eating.
Right.
But the ketones, this is the first time you've used a ketone monitor. So you said your ketones got up into the mid twos?
Yeah, 2.6 that's the highest reading that I've seen so far. And then a couple of other times I saw 2.2 and 2.4. And it's interesting to see how that number changes too, because I thought it was going to be a more linear progression, as if you're kind of doing a slow drip of sugar intake, and you know, you'd kind of watch the blood sugar tick up to a certain point. But the ketones are really they're really sensitive to activity level as well. So just going, you know, for a walk with the dogs or doing a workout, you know, and wake up, they vary with your sleep cycle as well. So it's been interesting to see how those move around.
Hey everyone, I want to tell you about an incredible company called Air Doctor Pro. You can go to airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off one of their amazing air filters. By supporting them, you're supporting us and the show. I want to tell you an incredible testimony. We now know that the indoor air is 2 to 5, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted than the outdoor air, according to the EPA. And my son has been struggling with sleep. He hasn't slept. He's over 2 years old. He hadn't slept through the night his entire life. My wife and I had done everything. We could not figure it out. We put an Air Doctor Pro in his room, and I am not kidding. The first night he slept through the night. He went over 30 nights in a row for the first time ever, sleeping through the night. We don't know what it did or what was in the air, because we've had our house tested. But whatever it's doing is allowing him to rest and sleep peacefully for the first time. And for that, it is absolutely priceless. Air Doctor Pro comes with a 30-day breathe-easy money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Minus shipping, head to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off any of their air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you'll also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in the special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE.
I know, when I was, the ketone and the blood sugar tracking is so powerful. And not many people do that in the beginning, but if you have access to that, we definitely recommend doing it. Mm-hmm. And as you've been doing this longer now, if someone is new to fasting, what are some of the things that you would or you have done? I know for me, I've done a couple of things in terms of, you know, getting through those fuzzy periods or those down energy periods in the first couple of days when you're transitioning from sugar to fat burning. What is it specifically? And I don't think I've heard you mention that you did them this time, but what have you done in the past to kind of help through those periods?
Well, you know, there's a couple different kinds of periods that I've felt so far during this fast. And so the one was, like I mentioned, in that, you know, kind of 48 hour ish mark, where my energy was just really, really low for probably about 8 hours. And I remember spending about 5 to 10 minutes on the couch, 2 or 3 times during that period, where, you know, my daughter said, Daddy, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just hanging out for a second. Just give me a second and, I'll be back online here. So, I don't think I ever actually fell asleep during any of those times. Maybe I did for a minute or two, not off. But it felt pretty good. You can kind of feel the energy kind of come back over a short period of time, but that was pretty fuzzy, but that was really, really low energy. But once that 8 hour, you know, kind of window was done, it was smooth. It's been smooth sailing after that. Today though, I did feel one other thing, which was went on a longer walk with the kids and the dogs. And when I came back in, I felt just a little bit like just a slight nausea for a couple minutes.
Okay.
And then with just a slight fuzziness, almost lightheaded. I'm hesitant to use that word because there was no dizziness or anything else involved. But so I think I was a little dehydrated at that point. And so what I did, again, we went on a longer walk. So this was probably 4 or 5 miles and came back, and it's about 90 degrees out.
Right. Probably 105 heat index.
Yeah. So when I came back, I said, okay, I think this is going to be a good time for a little bit of trace minerals.
There you go.
In the past, I had done like a pickle spear, but we were out of pickles right now. So I picked up the trace minerals. I put about 30 drops in maybe 24 ounces of water. Mm-hmm. And within less than 5 minutes, I felt fantastic. Like back actually better than I did before the walk. So again, I think that was a hydration thing and a little bit of salt and minerals go a long way.
Yeah. Those trace minerals are powerful, man. Especially for like people that work out, you know, in the Houston heat and the Houston sweatshop of my garage where I work out, like those trace minerals, like it within minutes, you just feel better.
It was a lifesaver today. I was surprised at how quickly it worked too.
That's great. That's great. I know day 6 and 7 were my favorite, all 3 times I've done a seven day fast, but what do you think it looks like for the next couple of days here? And then how are you going to break your fast? How would you recommend you break your fast?
Yeah. Next couple of days here. I'm not worried about it at all.
Has your sleep been good too?
Sleep's been great. I've woken up refreshed. Sleep's been easy to get into. It's just everything runs smoother because like my body's not trying to figure out how to digest everything. So it doesn't have a whole lot else to think about. And so everything just feels like it's just running smooth, which is really, really nice. And I kind of forgot how nice it feels going into, you know, day 4+ of a longer fast, since it has been probably 6-8 months, since I've done it. But to answer your question, what I'd recommend doing and what I plan to do to break the fast is, I'm not going to eat anything before the meal, which we've talked about before and, kind of easing in and kind of breaking the fast with something. Right. I don't plan on doing that just because we're going to be celebrating an anniversary. So we're going to be going to a restaurant and, I'm not going to take up any of my storage room, for anything pre-meal. But I am going to be slow with the meal, and I'm going to front load it with some good vegetables for sure, because I want to take up some of that volume without just bringing on, you know, loads of calories and loads of carbohydrates. So definitely some good veggies beforehand, and give it some time. I plan on having an extended meal that's not any bigger than usual. So kind of controlling the portion size too.
Yeah, that's... By day 7, in my experience, you actually, the 3 times I've done it, I didn't really want to eat. Like, so it was enjoyable to kind of just sit there and be like, you know what? Yeah, I'll have a little bit of this. I'll have a little bit of that.
Right.
And just kind of hang out and enjoy. And we weren't celebrating anything, but it was just really cool to know that, like, you're at this point, you feel good, you've done all this hard work, and you're like, I mean, it'd be different if you've got a birthday meal or a celebratory meal, like an anniversary to go to. But then I was just kind of like, I guess I'll break the fast, because you really do feel better. And it's cool. I've been wanting to talk about the specific study with the safety of fasting, because some people might be on this right now thinking like, wait, what? Like, what do you, wait, this dude's doing what? And this other dude's interviewing him. Like, what do you mean? You're doing a 7-day. Well, there's a big backstory. If you want to hear more about it, go back to the first few episodes of our podcast. Bear with us. We're still new at this. So I think we're better now than we were then. Hopefully. And I can't go back. Yeah. I can't go back and listen to it. I haven't done it yet. People say they like them, so it's good. Still getting downloads on them, so that's all good. But you want to hear more about the stories and the reasons why we do this. It's really comes down to the insulin resistance and promoting health long-term. So there's a lot of safety and efficacy in doing these longer extended fasts in terms of cellular healing and weight loss and energy and just almost like a master reset. So, there's a really cool study out there that looked at, you know, people fasting over an observational study of a year or is doing 4 to 21 day fasts. So just really cool that, at this point, you've been experienced enough around it where, you know, doing a 7-day fast is more about the planning than the execution. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. Execution feels just, you know, pretty easy at this point. But what I would say is that one of the really cool things about tracking ketones that I'm going to do differently with this fast that I had never even thought about before was, you know, once you break that fast, like you said, you're almost like, well, okay, I guess now is when I'll eat, because during that first maybe 48 to even 72 hours, you feel like, wow, I really want to eat. Like, where's dinner? When's my next meal coming? Still, you can feel like that, but like after day four, I don't feel like that at all. And I don't think I will. And even if I was 10 days in, I don't think I would, because once you tap into the fat stores, there's not really a reason for your body to be sending those signals to you anymore. So you just don't feel like that. But what I'm going to do with the ketones is keep tracking them throughout the 7 days. And then after I break my fast, keep an eye on them then too. And then use that to quickly get into my next longer fast. It might just be a 36 or a 48, but I'm not going to do what I've done in the past, which would be get right back onto an OMAD schedule right afterwards. So I'm going to continue with some more intermediate and maybe even a longer fast here in the near future too.
That's awesome. So if we want to, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. You know, if you're new to fasting, start with our fast start guide. If you've been with us for a while, maybe it's time to push the envelope. But trying to wrap it up with like one actionable thing,
yeah,
that people can take away for a 7 day fast.
Yeah. I think if you're new to this, your action step is go download the fast start guide, the free fast start guide from thefastingforlife.com. Take the free mini masterclass with it, go into the deep dive and get started. Because if you're just getting started, that's a really, really great way to do it. Kind of a pain-free way to get going, feel the benefits and get the momentum started. But if you're not new to it, then, you know, take this and plan, get your calendar out and write down when your next longer fast is going to be. If you've never done a 72, do it. If you're just feeling like I'm ready to go, then do your next 5 or 7 day fast and put it on the calendar, stick to it, and reap the benefits, because it's fantastic.
That's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You're making me, well, nothing more than a proof of concept during an 8 week, you know, food and exercise transformation challenge than to prove our concept with a 7 day fast just drop right in the middle. So
yep.
Maybe we can time up the celebration when you come off your second fast after this, and maybe we can time up that 7 day where we can celebrate the all the new data that we have, never mind the experience and the knowledge. But cool, yeah, Tommy.
Well, post it too. That'd be cool.
Yeah. What was that?
So we could post it too. That'd be cool.
Oh yeah.
See how our ketones tracked and things like that. That'd be good.
Yep. The ketones, so powerful. So powerful. I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now though. So cool. Tommy, appreciate you sharing. Next 48 hours is going to be awesome. And congratulations on knocking this another 7 day fast out of the park, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye. So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free fast start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.